I'd like you to turn to Luke chapter 4. For some reason, I will tell you very honestly, this week has had some real impact on my spirit. This week in the news, there are times that, you know, news is never good. If you turn on the news looking for good news, you don't get much of it. You come to church to find the good news, don't you? But for some reason, this has been an incredibly impactful week on me. Iraq, the related politics, the president's plummeting ratings. How many of you understand our president needs our prayers? The Congress, the Senate, the House of Representatives, the Supreme Court. The Bible says pray for those that are in authority. They need our prayers. Then you turn to our own newspaper, The Leader, this week. And on there was a picture, two pictures actually, of the same woman with a four-month separation in between. She looked all right in the first picture, but then she'd begun to use methamphetamines. And the second picture, only 4 months later, was devastating. Well, I don't know if that, how many saw that picture? I didn't bring it with me this morning. I don't know if the same thing gripped your spirit as it did mine. You know, I heard Pastor Carl many times talk about his travel-alongs with the sheriff's department and the people in the sheriff's department. They talk about these meth addicts and their teeth rot and fall out and their brains become destroyed. I mean, it is a tragedy, a literal tragedy. And when I looked at that picture, it was incredulous. And then on Channel 4 this week, they did a news article about three children. They've spent, this particular reporter has spent every day for 4 months with three children, the oldest of which is 13, and they are begging their mother to come home. They had a wonderful mom, great cook, loved them, took care of them, but tried meth once, one time, and became so horribly addicted, she abandoned her children. She told her sister, who took them in, to forget about her. She was gone. They showed where she's living. She lives in a little plastic thatch kind of a thing out in the edge of the county, and it's full of stolen merchandise and ashtrays and meth equipment and supplies, and she doesn't want a thing to do with her children. And these kids are literally brokenhearted. The news went on this week. I think you all saw it. FEMA has decided no longer to pay for the people that were devastated by the hurricane. They're not going to pay for their lodging anymore. Those people have no place to go. And a few weeks ago, we have a mayor in New Orleans who thinks the best usage of the money that's come to him in the disaster is to rebuild the casinos, and because that'll give people jobs. Pension plans are going bankrupt, and so what we have is large corporations getting their pensions over to a large pension insurance corporation, a huge firm, which has now announced that it's running out of money and won't have the opportunity. We've got a potential pandemic on bird flu. Are you getting the good news yet? Potential pandemic on bird flu. More storms, possibly and probably on the way. Had breakfast yesterday morning with Vern, and Vern looked at me and he said, you know, Kevin, he said, one of the things that's wrong in corporate America, he didn't maybe say that last phrase, but it's in corporate America, is the fact that we don't celebrate progress anymore. I mean, just one thing after another. We don't celebrate progress anymore. We achieve something as a team of people, and a memo comes out saying, a nice job, but. And people are discouraged and disheartened. And people are heart sick. And people are losing hope. They've lost it. They don't know where to find it. They don't know where to go. They don't know what to do. And we come into what is the holiday season, and for some people it is the loneliest time of the year. What's going on? Then in a series called Acts Alive. And the purpose of Acts Alive really is to see the heart of God. God's purpose for the church, for us individually, for us corporately. What is on God's heart? We come up to the end of the year in the last 4 years running, including this one. I asked three questions, and maybe you will recall what those questions are. I asked you three questions. What kind of Christian do you want to be? What kind of Christianity do you want to live? And number three, what kind of church do you want to be? What kind of Christian do you want to be? What kind of Christianity do you want to live? What kind of church do you want to be? We've used the phrase, and Pastor Carl taught it constantly as the last 30 years that I've had the privilege of listening to him. What you believe determines how you live. What you believe is crucial, and it determines how you live. The question in our heart this morning is, what is the Church of Jesus Christ supposed to be like? Bad news, despair, tsunamis and hurricanes, people going broke, methamphetamines on the rise, and drug abusers on the rise, and it's a scourge in our society. Folks, if you don't think drugs are a scourge and a blight and a plight on our land, at the very least, it is a scourge that is wrecking homes and wrecking families and wrecking economy, and people are throwing their lives away. No hope. But welcome to the Church of Jesus Christ. Welcome to Jesus. Now, I didn't say that we're the whole Church of Jesus Christ, but we're a part of that expression. Where is the answer to life to be found? Where are the answers? There are so many questions. In fact, there are a lot more questions today than there ever have been before. Society is different. Technology is different. And people don't understand what to do, where to turn, where to go. Running out of money, running out of food, running out of drugs, running out of hope, running out of everything. What do I do? What's a mother to do? Come to Jesus. Come to the body of Christ. Come to the family of God. God's purpose-driven church. Now there's a title of a book, famous book, The Purpose-Driven Life, The Purpose-Driven Church. But this morning I'm going to alter that just a little bit because I want us to take a look at what God wants for this expression. What's God want for this expression of God's church? God's purpose-driven church. Say it with me. God's purpose-driven church. Grace Christian Center, Door of Grace, is what we have been known as. And we have a new name, Grace Christian Center. A lot of people haven't known, what is Door of Grace? Is that a door I walk into? No, it's a door you walk through, into Jesus. But we're going to be known as Grace Christian Center. And we're going to be moving very soon. Why did we come here? Why are we here? What is our purpose? What's the point of what we're doing? And what are we about the business of doing, and what are we supposed to be doing? Let's take a look at Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. Contrast the bad news with what Jesus came to do and what we're called to do. Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. The Bible says, "The Spirit of the Lord," Jesus quoted, "is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at what? At liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Now, if you'll just hold your finger right there, I want to read that to you out of the Message translation. God's Spirit is on me. He's chosen me to preach the message of good news to the poor. How many want good news in their life? Ever feel poor in spirit, not just in finances? Sure. We need what? Good news. Preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to announce pardon to prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to set the burdened and battered free. Anybody in this room ever been burdened? Ever felt battered by life? To set you free, to announce, this is God's year to act. That's fantastic, isn't it? Say that phrase with me. This is God's year to act. Turn to Matthew chapter 21, please. This is God's year to act. Matthew chapter 21. I'm going to use a lot of scriptures this morning. You might not get to them all before I read them. But if you're taking notes, go ahead and write them down. Matthew 21. I'm going to read verses 12 through 16. This is a particular illustration or a situation that you've heard about many times. I'm going to read it out of several different translations because it changes just a little bit, and this happened actually on a couple of different occasions. Then Jesus, Matthew 21, 12 through 16. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold at the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, "It's written, my house shall be called a house of prayer." Pastor Carl talked about worthy and worship, the contraction, worship for worship. And he is worthy. The word prayer here means prayer and worship. My house is called to be a house of worship, a house of prayer. a place of the presence of God. But you've made it what? A den of thieves. Then the blind and the lame came. Those who were hurting, those who couldn't see, came to him in the temple. And he what? He healed them. But when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant, the New King James says, and said to him, do you hear what these are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes, have you never read, out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected praise? The Bible admits, they admitted that Jesus was doing wonderful things, but they were upset that he was receiving praise. They were upset mostly that the money changers' tables were turned over and those who were profiting by their illegitimate sale of activity and goods and illegitimate purpose of what was taking place in the house, that they were kicked out. That upset them. But Jesus is angry over this stuff. And Jesus says, there's a wrong purpose that's been taking place. I want a right purpose to take place in my house. God's purpose-driven church. Mark chapter 11, 12 through 18 and 20. Mark 11, 12 through 18 and 20. This is also a similar story, but it has another one that you've heard with it. Mark 11, 12 through 18 and verse 20. He was hungry. Last part of verse 12. And seeing from afar, verse 13, a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. But when he came to it, he found, say it with me please, nothing but leaves. For it was not the season of figs. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. Why, folks, isn't that a head-scratcher? Why was he so upset? It wasn't the season for fruit, it says. Verse 15. So they came to Jerusalem. Then Jesus went into the temple, began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers, the seats of those who sold doves. He would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. Then he taught, saying to them, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations? But you've made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his teaching. Now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Whoa! What was Jesus so upset about? Let's go to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 19. Verses 41 through 48. Luke 19, 41 through 48. What was Jesus so upset about? Luke 19, 41 through 48. Now as he drew near, he saw the city, and he wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and level you, and your children within you to the ground. They will not leave in you one stone upon another. Now, we have spent time on this particular verse, remember? On this section where the destruction in 70 AD of Titus and the bloodbath in the streets as the people of God did not respond to God. And what did they miss? The next phrase tells us. Why did they come into this kind of a time? Because you did not know the time of your visitation. Verse 45. Then he went into the temple and he began to drive out those who bought and sold in it, saying to them, it's written, my house is a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And he was teaching daily in the temple. And the chief priests, scribes, leaders of the people sought to destroy him and were unable to do anything, for all the people were very attentive to hear him. What's going on in these scriptures? Jesus makes a triumphal entry into Jerusalem. The people all around him are celebrating. You know, the scriptures talk about on donkey back, they lay down the palm leaves in front of them. Palm Sunday, we celebrate that. And there's all sorts of celebration that was taking place. But he goes in and he kicks out these people from the temple. What's going on? He curses a fig tree that bears no figs, just has leaves. He curses it. and it shrivels up and dies. What's going on? Jesus and God's heart says, my house is to be the real deal. Say the real deal. The real deal. I want reality. I want my Father's heart. I want the presence of God. I want prayer. I want worship. I want life-giving things that give hope and deliverance and strength and peace. I want joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I want the real deal in my house. I get upset when I don't see the real deal, Jesus says. He cursed the fig tree because it advertised fruit, but had none. Commotion with no motion. A lot of leaves. Looks good. Promises good things. But no fruit to feed. No real tangible fruit to give life to anyone. Church, I know the scripture says there that it wasn't the season for bearing fruit. Can I ask you a question? In spiritual things, when is the season for bearing fruit? At all times, whenever there are hungry people, there's fruit that's necessary. And Jesus walked up and looked at a tree full of leaves, full of advertisement, but no depth and no reality to nourish a hungry body or soul. And he said, you're good for nothing. Church, what kind of church do you want to be? What kind of Christianity do you want to live? What kind of Christian do you want to be? I want to be the real deal. Amen. Look at each other. Say, I want to be the real deal. I want to be the real deal. The God's heart being expressed. God's purpose-driven church. Jesus comes in, he weeps over Jerusalem. The people of God miss the day of their visitation. The leaders turn hard, which keeps the people from hearing good words and good news. But the people keep chasing after Jesus because they know he brings life, he brings hope, he brings deliverance, he brings help, he brings their encouragement in the hour of need. What do you find in the body of Christ? Yeah, we got to tell the truth. We have to tell the truth of this thing. But overall, even when the truth of sin is preached about, repentance results and good news results from repentance. Come, you say amen. When I see before God that my heart is wrong, my attitudes are wrong, I have a chance to ask Him to forgive me. Guess what? When I do and afterwards, I'm freer than I was before. You're sitting there, if you're sitting there in a bitter spirit this morning, guess what? Bitterness has grabbed a hold of you and you're not free. You forgive, you get to go on your way. How many of you remember and know? People that you're bitter toward, they usually don't know. They're tricksing down the road just great and doing fine and happy. You're all upset and mad and, oh man, oh man, oh man. And they go by and go, hey, how are you? Good to see you. And you want to look at them and go, I'm not finding all of them, you're the reason. It's real. It's real. But we're keeping ourselves in a prison, and they're free. When I repent. So okay, all right, Pastor Kev, if you're only going to preach the good news, you'll never preach about sin. No, that's not true. Jesus came, and the first words out of his mouth when he began his ministry were, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But when you repent, you get to have this precious love relationship with God. You get this great thing of hope and peace, and the weights are off your shoulders, and the weights are off your back, and there's deliverance, and there's freedom, and there's life, and there's joy, and never any questions again as long as you live, and then no confusion, right? No, but there's life, deliverance, forgiveness and mercy. 2 years ago, we came into this building and we said we came to be a blessing. We came to be a blessing. We came to bring a blessing. 2 years later, nearly to the day, we're moving to a conference center just down the road about a quarter of a mile. Guess what, church? We're going there to be a blessing and to bring a blessing. The blessing of God's presence. The blessing of God's life. Church, let's be the real deal. God's purpose-driven church. Grace Christian Center, what's it to be? I'm going to give you about four things this morning. If you're taking notes, you'll be able to write down four big words on your page. Grace Christian Center, Door of Grace, what's it to be? Number one, a house of worship. A house of worship. My house is called a house of prayer. The Greek word is prosuke. Prosuke, it means prayer and intense, earnest worship. Let's say you've heard something. You've heard something. It's popular. It goes around. In fact, it's the way. If you're going to build a church, you got to build a church this way. You go to conferences to learn how to do this. And if you're going to be anything worth your salt, you got to do this if you're going to be a church. And that is, as a church, and I'm not going to downtrodden it, I just think it's a little different than what they say. They say you got to be seeker-sensitive. You know, seekers to come to the congregation, you got to be seeker-sensitive. Okay, I'm a sensitive kind of guy. Okay, maybe not always. Yeah, some of you looked aghast when I said that, I know. Okay, well, I try to be, and sometimes I mess up. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I have to ask forgiveness, and I don't try to purposely be somebody that's not sensitive. But I will tell you what. Grace Christian Center, Door of Grace, let me tell you what we're called to be first and foremost. Savior sensitive.
Amen.
Spirit sensitive. Savior sensitive and Holy Spirit sensitive. We are going to give room to God, and we're going to do what God wants us to do, and we're going to worship Him, and we're going to love Him, and we're going to adore Him. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, and thou shalt worship Him and love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's where we are to be first and foremost. You know something? Let me just tell you a little story. I grew up going to church. Didn't do me a lot of good. But I grew up going to church every Sunday. I was the youngest of three kids. Couldn't get out of going to church. Mom was a preacher's kid. Went to church every Sunday. She didn't get saved until much later in life, but she went to church every Sunday. She took me along with her. My older two brothers managed to find ways out. I was the baby of the family. I was going to church. Didn't do me any good. Until I came to a time in my life where I was really needy. And then I went somewhere into a prayer meeting. Kids sitting on the floor. These are the Jesus freak days. You know, the moving of the Spirit, man, is glorious. the Jesus heyday and the Jesus people time. I went to this little quiet prayer meeting. Everybody just sitting on the floor. Over here in the corner, every now and then somebody would pray. Over here in the corner, some gal got really touched by the Holy Spirit. She began to giggle. Then she began to cry. And I thought to myself, what a bunch of crazy fanatics. They weren't doing anything. They weren't doing anything. But it was different than what I'd seen. Sometimes, for the purpose of being seeker-sensitive, people are afraid for the seeker to see something unusual. Do you know that if people never see anything different than what they've already or always seen, how will they know there's anything different for them to have? Church, I'm not here to worship and sing songs and sing in the Spirit to make people uncomfortable. But we're here to first and foremost glorify Him. And the Holy Spirit's big enough to reach out, pick somebody up in His arms and say, honey, I know this is a little different than what you've seen before. It's okay. Yoo-hoo, you need this. You say amen or oh no?
Yes.
Church, a few weeks ago we sang a song, old 70s song. I'm going to keep on singing. I'm going to keep on shouting. I'm going to keep on praising the Lord until the world knows what Jesus says. You know something? Let's keep on doing it. We're going to keep singing. We're going to keep rejoicing. We're going to keep worshiping. We're going to keep loving Him. We're going to keep adoring Jesus. And if people come in and they go, you're crazy, I'll look at them, love you. I know that you need this. You're crazy, I don't need this. I know that you need this. But that's okay. You go wherever you want to. And we'll let the Holy Spirit work on hearts. We're not here to shove Jesus down anybody's throat. I don't preach shyly. I will tell you that. I'm not shy. I think sort of maybe kind of every now and then, maybe once and twice in your life you need Jesus, I think. I don't preach it that way, okay? I don't think Jesus preached it that way. Jesus came out of the wilderness after fasting and prayer, full of the Holy Ghost, and he said, you know what they said? Hey, Jesus, good to see you. You know what you don't read? Hey, good to see you too. How's your wife and kids? He comes out of the wilderness, he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand. What happened to you, man? Well, praise God. But we're going to keep worshiping Jesus. Grace Christian Center's first and foremost call to be a worshiping church. Church, we're going to love people. We talk about loving Jesus and loving people, but we're first of all going to love him. You know what I found? When I love him and I'm full of his presence, I have the right kind of love then to give away. People find love in the presence of God, and let's do everything we can to enjoy the presence of God. First and foremost, amen? John 12:32, if I'm lifted up from the earth, I will draw all peoples to myself. John 12:32. John chapter 4, 23 and 24. The hour is coming and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. Listen to the heartbeat of God, God's purpose-driven church. That scripture goes on to say, the Father is seeking such to worship him. You want to get along with God? Get along with his purpose. You want to know what the purpose of God is? He says, okay, I'm on a hunt and I'm looking for worshipers. Who wants me in this earth? We wonder why we have problems. We turn our back on God. We turn against him. We don't walk in his ways. And guess what? We have problems. But God says, hey, turn around. The heart of God says, and the scripture says, I don't want anybody to perish. The heart of God is grieved and broken over anybody's death. God says, turn around. I'm looking for worshipers. Yoo-hoo. Any candidates here? Yoo-hoo. Any candidates here? Grace Christian Center, Door of Grace. Anybody want to worship the Lord? First, foremost, let's worship him. Philippians 3, we're the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus. Don't have confidence in the flesh. Revelation 15, 4, all nations shall come and worship before you. That Greek word is proskuneo. It means literally falling down to kiss like a dog licking his master's hand. That's the meaning of the word worship. All nations will come and worship and bow before him in homage. We're called to be a house of worship. Secondly, Grace Christian Center is to be a house of salvation. Say the word salvation. A house of salvation, a house of saving grace, preaching the great grace of God. Forgiveness is possible. Redemption is possible. Deliverance is possible. Peace and freedom and the Holy Ghost is possible. That weight you carry on your chest, on your shoulders, on your heart, that still legitimate shame Pastor Sherry talked about last week, that thing, you can pull that off your shoulders, throw that brick at Satan, and thank God you're free by the blood, by the grace and the mercy of God. People need hope. People need deliverance. People need to know, is there good news anywhere? There's, my pension's running out. My kids are in drugs. My family's gotten a divorce. I don't know what to do. And we get to say, come to Christ. Come to Jesus. This Jesus loves you. May not make all of your problems go away, but it gives you the strength and the peace and his love and his presence as you go through those problems. Door of Grace is called to be a house of worship. Door of Grace is called to be a house of salvation. Let them hear the good news. Let's not be shy about the good news. How many of you think Port Ludlow, Port Townsend, Port Haddock, Port everywhere needs Jesus? You take a look at the voice. How many enjoy reading the voice? Okay, yeah, every now and then I enjoy reading the voice. I do too. But you know what you read about in the voice? Civil War. I thought the Civil War was over. Listen, I want you to know something very sincerely. These communities, this region, needs healing. We don't have to hang our heads about being a church because the church has the answer. You know, I'm going to get to it, but you can stand up, vote, fight, fight, fight. You can stand for what's right, but you can do it with the right spirit. Oh, gosh, I want to dive into it right now. Church, we've come to be door openers, not door closers. We do our best to do that. As Christians, I really don't want to be known for what I'm against. I want to be known for what I'm for. And what I'm for is healing and peace and the love of God and Jesus saving people and helping people. Yeah, we got problems all around, and we can bash and beat up, and we can curse the darkness all day long, or we can lift up the name of Jesus and bring the light. We got a dark region that needs the light of Jesus. Let's love them. Let's bring the light of Jesus. Now, ever been in a dark room for a while? Somebody flips on the light. Is it always comfortable right away? Sometimes it's that way. But you can get used to living in the light. You can love living in the light. You can see. You don't stub your toe on your door jams. You don't have accidents and problems. You can see. Jesus brings the light. House of salvation. The Spirit of the Lord, we started with that scripture, is upon me to preach the good news, to set the captives free, to bring good news. Mark 16, verse 15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go into all the world, preach the gospel. That word preach is the Greek word kerusso. And the Greek word literally means to herald as a public crier. Okay? So you all get to be town criers wherever you are to bring the good news of Jesus. Where do you go to church? I go to that church where there are a bunch of town criers to herald the good news. Say it with me. John 3, 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For he sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I say this tenderly because I believe and am grateful for people who have gone on with real courage and fought the battles. Some of the battles in the body of Christ haven't been fought hard enough, so we've lost a lot of our rights. But church, people turn on the television all day long and turn on the radio all day long and see and hear angry people. We don't need to be a bunch more angry Christians. Now, God's angry at sin all day long. There is a form of anger. Be angry and sin not, the Bible says. We're angry at sin. But we need to love the people that are caught in it and show them a better way out. Isaiah 60. The darkness shall cover the earth, deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you. His glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light. Isaiah 11, verse 9. The earth shall be full of the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. And verse 12 says, the Gentiles shall seek him. God's message is a good news message. A house of worship. A house of salvation. Good news people, salt, light. I spent time with a person this week. Sad situation. Very, very good meeting. Brief. But this person asked me if I had had much contact with another person, that it wasn't a gossip session, but if I had had much contact with this other person. I'm trying not to share names here. But I said, no. Have you had further contact with this person? The man looked at me and said, no, Kevin. He said, but this man is against everything I do. Stands against me on everything I do. The man to whom he was referring is a known Christian. And I think to myself, dear God, help us live this differently. The Bible says, as much as is possible, be at peace with all men. Sometimes it's not possible. Sometimes it's not. If somebody comes up to me and asks me to compromise away my faith so we can have peace, that's not a peace that's worth having. I can't do that. But we can still do our best to lift up Jesus and love people while we do it. Let's be salt and light and bring Jesus. Number three, Grace Christian Center is to be a house of teaching. So we got worship, and we got salvation, and we got teaching. Matthew 28:19. The last section says, go and preach. This one says, go and teach. Go, therefore, and make disciples, teaching them. And then he says, lo, I am with you always. Very interesting. If you agree with and do the purpose of God's heart, go make disciples and teach them. He says, I am with you always. In other words, you do the purpose-driven church the way God wants you to. He says, I'm there with you. How many want Jesus there with us? Yes. Amen. Go teach, make disciples. Matthew 2:0. Make them pupils. Enroll them as scholars is literally what that means. Acts 5:22. Daily in the temple, in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching. We are called to teach, to educate, to formulate, to help make disciples, to inculcate, if you will, to put the good news inside. So there's rebar. Spiritual rebar. How many know testings come? Come on. Anybody have any tough times just this week? Testings? Sure. Guess what? It's the spiritual rebar inside that'll help you stand strong. That strength from the Word of God engrafted into your soul to help you know how to please God during this time of testing. That's what it's for. That's what it's for. 1 Timothy 3:15, if I'm delayed, I write so that you may know, Paul says, how to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church. Now listen what the description is, God's purpose-driven church. Listen to the description of the church, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent, present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. All right, a house of teaching. Number four, Grace Christian Center is called to be a house of healing and blessing. A house of, say it with me, healing and blessing. Malachi 4:2, but to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. With healing in his wings, we teach people how to come into a precious relationship with Jesus. They come under the wings of God, and they find peace and deliverance and hope and strength and help and health and life. How many know that healing is more than just in your body? Spirit, soul, body, your mind, your emotions. Listen to what Jesus did. Matthew 4:23-25. Message version here. He went all over Galilee. He used synagogues for meeting places. He taught the people the truth of God. God's kingdom was his theme, that beginning right now, they were under God's government. Beginning when?
Right now.
They were under God's government, a good government. He also healed people of their diseases and of the bad effects of their bad lives. Come on, church. Anybody have a little bad life? Any bad effects from it? Sure. Thank God for a gracious Father who heals. Word got around, verse 24. Word got around the entire Roman province of Syria. People brought anybody with an ailment, whether mental, emotional, or physical. Jesus healed them. Church, I want people to be able to come, don't you, to Door of Grace, find deliverance, find peace in their soul, find help in their emotions, find the healing presence of God. Luke 9:11, when the multitudes knew it, they followed him. He received them, spoke to them about the kingdom of God. He healed those who had need of healing. Acts 10:38, helping people. He went about the country, helping people, healing everybody who was beaten down by the devil. Isn't that what we are to do? Come on into the church of Jesus Christ. The devil gets chased away and Jesus gets presented. Isn't that what we're for? Go home with a little bit of hope, a lot of it, and help. Revelation 22. In the middle of the street and on either side of the river was the tree of life. Listen to God's purpose for the tree of life. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Church, God's heart, God's purpose is to find worshipers, is to bring salvation, is to see his people taught and strengthened, to give them hope and help, and to give them healing, to heal the nations. I don't have the answers for Iraq. I'm grieved about Iraq. I'm grieved about our soldiers dying. I'm grieved about pulling out too soon. The whole thing just grieves me. You know what? All I can do, honestly, as a pastor, is say to you, church, isn't that proof, just even that issue alone, that we need Jesus? We need Jesus. The only one who's going to ultimately heal the nations is the one who teaches us to beat our swords into plowshares. And the only way that happens is one heart at a time, when a heart is healed by the presence of God. God is good. And God's house is to be a house of blessing. Look at each other. Reach out your hand. Don't mess up anybody you don't know. But just put your hand on their shoulder and say, I bless you in Jesus' name. Healing, blessing, blessing, healing. Thank you, I receive it. Healing and blessing and blessing and healing and blessing, blessing and healing. You see each other, you get to bring good news, you get to bring some encouragement, you get to bring some life and some help. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Don't repay evil with evil, insult with insult, but with blessing. To this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Boy, anybody do great at that? Anybody in this room do perfect at that? Let me see your hands. Phew. That's hard, isn't it? It takes the grace of God working in our lives to change our hearts and minds. It does, you guys. I fail this. To bring blessing and to keep speaking blessing. Verse 10, for whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good, must seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. A house of healing. A house of blessing. Folks, we sang about the river of God. I want to jump into the river. I want the river of God to be flowing in my life and flowing in your life. And when we come together, we get a whole bunch of tributaries coming together. And we've got the mighty rushing wind and the mighty rushing river of God's presence, where people can jump in and go swimming and enjoy the presence of God and enjoy healing, enjoy being delivered, where they're free from the torment of demonic harassment, where they're free from their problems, where they come and find an answer in life. And the answer is Jesus. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. So how do we be God's purpose-driven church? What kind of Christian do you want to be? Lord, I want to be sold out. I want to be what you want me to be. I want to be your kind of Christian. Okay? What kind of Christianity do you want to have? Well, I want God's purpose-driven kind of Christianity. I want the book. I want what you say. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to see your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. What kind of church do you want to have? I want God's purpose-driven church. I want the heartbeat of God to feel free to beat here. Don't you? I don't want God to someday say, I'm sorry, I couldn't get in there. I don't want that. I want to be able to bring his good news together with you to a whole region that needs him. We came to be and bring a blessing. When we move on December 10th, we're coming to be and bring the blessing of God's presence. Light, life, deliverance, freedom. Salvation. Peace. How many want Jesus in that way? Amen. Want to be what he wants us to be. Grace Christian Center. Let's fulfill God's purpose and be his purpose-driven church. Amen?